It is good to see everyone today. It's December 16, 2018. And the title of today's message is The Christmas Day Star. It's going to be based on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. But we're going to start out today in John chapter 1. And I'm going to familiarize you again with a verse of scripture that you know by heart. But we definitely do not want to take it for granted. So if you'll go with me to John chapter 1, and we will begin there today, and we will open our hearts and open our minds to the miracle and the enormity of Christmas. So John chapter 1 verse 1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him, the Word, there was not anything made that was made." And in verse 14 it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," dwelt among humanity. If you go back to verse 10, it says He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and He came into the world. And then in verse 14 it says, "When we saw Jesus, we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 18, "No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the heart of the Father, He hath declared Him." And that, my friend, is what Christmas is all about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I pray for a cleansing by Your blood, the precious blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross. Father, they put the sword in Your side and the blood and water flowed. The blood to cleanse us from our sin. The water, the very water, the living water from the body of Christ, our new life in You, everlasting life. And Father, the blood and the water still flows from the cross. Lord, we can still go there to You and receive forgiveness and redemption, and then to have Your life placed in us by Your Spirit. You breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And so, Father, we ask for Your Spirit to be our teacher today, our anointer, our filler, mine, especially in this prayer for me. And I pray, Father, that You will speak to our hearts as we study, and You will open our eyes to see things we've never seen. And Lord, just let Your Holy Spirit move this Christmas. May this be a meditative Christmas. A Christmas where we place ourselves before You. We thank You and we praise You, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, the day star of Christmas. Now, all that I just read to you, in the beginning was the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now, I want you to understand, Christmas is all about God taking on flesh as a man, coming into the world and declaring and revealing Himself to humanity. Now, you can look at the shepherds, you can look at the wise men, you can look at the star, but I want you to understand everything about the wise men, the shepherds, the stars, the choir of heaven that was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of angels. And you say, "Brother Leo, how do you know it was that many angels? How about if it was only 20 angels?" I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend. David Jeremiah made this point on one of his Christmas messages that when he studied the angel, he went to Revelation, where at the throne, John saw hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands singing unto God. And he said, "So I'm going to assume, you know, that's what they saw." Well, I'm going to assume this also. Every angel that was in heaven, there wasn't one that wanted to sing out that, fit out that song. So I believe all, I mean, which ones would have stayed back and guarded the camp? They all, I think, came out this innumerable. But what I want you to understand, those angels, that star, that was an announcement from God that here I am. So the angel said, here he is. Here he is. There is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You're going to find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And then the star, you know what the wise men said? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come all this way to worship him. So how'd they know to come? They got an announcement. Now, I want to show you something. God in the flesh, as a man in the world, declaring and revealing himself to humanity. Now, Paul says this in 1 Timothy. So go with me to 1 Timothy. But he uses a word we've seen many times, and I studied it this week. And it's about as simple as you can get. And you know, when you read 1 Timothy, and you read those first three chapters, he's talking to you about what an elder should be and what a deacon should be. And then when he concludes in chapter 3, writing about what a deacon should be, in verse 13, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto you, hoping to come and see you shortly." Hoping to come and see you shortly. I use this to keep up with time, believe it or not. I am concerned about the time. Now, in verse 15, he says this, "But if I tarry long, you may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and the ground of truth." And so now he's giving you the foundation of truth. And here it is, short and sweet. Verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Now, is that not a wonderful verse? I absolutely love that verse. But I want you to understand the first part of that verse is Christmas. And you know what it is? God himself was made manifest in the flesh. Now, that word I added, made. It doesn't say made, because made means he would have been made in the flesh, which John 1 tells us he was. But that word manifest is phaneros, phaneros. And it comes from phos, phos, light. But phaneros means to shine forth. God himself shine forth in the flesh. It means to make known, to draw attention to, or to cause to be seen. God was manifest in the flesh. He shined forth in the flesh. He came to make himself known in the flesh. He came to draw attention to himself in the flesh. He came to cause himself to be seen. So Christmas is a shining forth of God to the earth. Now, go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And look at what Jesus says about himself. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Go with me to John chapter 9, verse 4. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus says this, I must work the works of Him that sent me, my Heavenly Father, when it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is shining forth as the light of God. Jesus wants to draw attention to Himself for who He is. And I want you to understand that something. That didn't stop 2,000 years ago. That doesn't stop when you get saved. And that doesn't stop after you're saved. The Lord is constantly and consistently trying to get you to get your attention off of yourself and on to Him. Get your attention off of the things that you do and onto the things that He can do through you. And so there's this great shining forth at Christmas. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And look at what the Scripture says. Jesus speaking with Nicodemus. In John chapter 3 verse 19, Jesus says this. This is the condemnation. That light, that divine revelation, that a divine shining forth is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus Christ is a heavenly light. And the whole purpose of that heavenly light is not for us to say, oh man, what a glorious light. Or we know that light means righteousness. Or we know that light is a wonderful thing. The whole purpose of Jesus being the heavenly light, shine from heaven down on earth and continuing today, He wants to draw you to Himself. Amen. Yes. He wants to announce Himself to you. And you're going to do one of two things. You're going to come to the light, or you're going to run from the light. And in this verse, it says we run from the light because our deeds are evil. Yeah. There are things we don't want to deal with, so we run from the light. But I want you to understand something. There are two parts to this thing. Jesus announces Himself. That's His part. And then you've got a part. And the wise men said, Jesus announced Himself. We saw His star in the east. And we are come. We have traveled these many months to worship Him. Now what about Herod? He didn't go. What about the scribes and the Pharisees? They didn't go. They were in Jerusalem, 6 miles from Bethlehem. They chose not to go. So you've got a choice every day when God tries to get your attention. You can either look upon Him. You can either listen to Him. You can either allow His conviction to move you in the direction you need to go in. Or you can simply ignore Him. And I want you to know something. I don't know how many of you are out there categorizing sin. But you might be here today and say, you know, I've never murdered anybody. I've never stolen anything. I've never committed adultery. Well, man, that's great. Those boxes won't be checked when you're at the judgment seat. But how many times have you ignored the conviction of God?
Right.
And the movement of God upon your heart. I'm going to tell you something. God is trying to get your attention today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Brother Leo, how do you know that? Because He wants to commune with you.
Amen.
He wants to help you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to give you joy. And so, the bunch of religious leaders in Jerusalem didn't go. What about that angelic choir? Now, you may not have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of angels singing to you. But as soon as those angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds looked at one another and they said unto one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this great announcement that God hath made known unto us. And so they ran with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph in the babe, lying in the manger. So it's about our response. I want you to understand something. God is unchangeable. He was getting those folks' attention 2,000 years ago, and he's getting our attention now. And you've got to understand, I'm going to tell you something. If you can't pay attention to God at Christmas, you're never going to pay attention to God.
Amen.
If you don't have time for God at Christmas, you're never going to have time for God.
Yeah.
You know, as Patty and I were driving in today, we got the text from Mona. Well, she's in Nashville because Lila's got her Christmas play today. And I said, Patty, how many Christmas plays do you think are going on in America today? And I bet there are hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of Christmas plays, and there are church services, and there are cantatas. And you cut on the radio, and you hear secular singers singing Silent Night, Holy Night. Oh, come all ye faithful. You know, and you hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And all of these things are going on. You go in the mall to buy something. You're going to hear a Christmas song. You're going to see a nativity scene. All these things are going on once a year all over the world. Because 2,000 years ago, the whole world didn't, he didn't get the whole world's attention. It was just one little group of shepherds. One little group of wise men, Simeon, Anna, and that was about it. But 2,000 years later, every one of us can sit in our homes on Christmas Eve and we can watch the nativity service in Bethlehem. All over the world. Folks will be able to watch the Pope give his address all over the world. You can watch David Jeremiah, or Charlie Stanley, or Adrian Rogers. You can watch all these things all over the world, all their services. And so 2,000 years later, God has got the world's attention if the world won't ignore it.
Yeah, you're right.
And we're a part of that. You know, I was watching David Jeremiah this morning, and the angle of the camera, there was this huge tree back behind it. And I said, look, dear Patty, his stage looks just like mine this morning. He's got one tree. And then it kind of opened up and I saw that. I said, he's got two trees because he had another tree. And then I said, and look at how they got the orchestra pit decorated. I said, you know, we didn't decorate our orchestra pit. But you know, the bottom line is this, in David Jeremiah's church, in my church today, in churches all over the world, you know what we're preaching? We're preaching Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus come to the earth. And everybody's got an opportunity. There's little churches meeting outdoors somewhere and in homes and in great cathedrals in Europe and Asia and Africa and in America today. And everybody's preaching the same thing these next two Sundays. God has come to earth to get your attention. And you either respond to Him or you don't. You ignore Him. It's the sin of ignoring God. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Jesus is the light of divine revelation. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter says this, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." Now, you know what Peter's talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. And he's saying, we've got an announcement, which is the Word of God, and it's like a light shining in a dark place on your heart, on your mind, on your life. And the Word of God announces everything you need to know about Jesus Christ. Everything you need to know about salvation. Everything you need to know about spiritual growth. Everything you need to know about every problem you'll ever face. The Word of God will give you wisdom. He might not say specifically, you need to sell this and buy that. But you will get the wisdom and the urgings and the pleadings of the Holy Spirit as you dig into the Word of God. But notice what he says. You do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. Many folks don't take heed. Take heed means to look at seriously. To stop. It actually means to stop and look at and take in.
Right.
How many people do that? How many people stop and look at and take in? You know, tomorrow morning you don't have to read the whole book of John, but you can get in Psalm 30, take one verse and say, I'm going to read this verse, I'm going to focus on this verse, I'm going to take in this verse, and I'm going to wait till God speaks to me through this verse. And He may say something to me He said before, or He may say something to me I've never heard before, but I'm going to take heed. And I'm going to take it in. There are people all over the world that have read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and they've not taken in a thing. You've got to take in. But notice what He says. Take in as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. Now, I want to make that a capital D and a capital S. And I'll tell you why in a moment. If you go back to verse 16, Peter says, look, we've not made this stuff up. These are not cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. So, I want you to understand that day star that's arising in your heart. We're back to the word phaneros, but it's another word. This word is phos, P-H-O-S, phero, P-H-E-R-O. Phos means light. Phero means bearer, B-E-A-R-E-R, or carrier. A carrier of light. A bearer of light. So the day star in the times that Peter wrote, the day star in our times, the day star in the days of Galileo, the day star in the days of the Magi was always Venus. I went out the other morning. I said, Patty, you got to come out here and see Venus. And there was Venus right before dawn in the eastern sky. And it was high on the horizon. And Venus is known as the day star. It's also known as the bright morning star. I'm going to show you in a moment. But the day star is the harbinger of the dawn. So whenever you see Venus early, early in the morning over there on the eastern part of the sky on a clear winter's morning, you know that dawn is about to break. And Venus heralds the light coming up for a new day. Now let me tell you something else about Venus. When you see Venus at that point, you can't see any of the stars in the sky. Venus is all alone. It's the day star. So there's Venus up there, and Venus is saying, if you want to look at stars, you got to look at me because I'm the only one. Venus is drawing attention to himself. So it's the only star in the horizon at that time, and it's known as the day star. So go with me to Revelation chapter 22. And in Revelation chapter 22, we get the last description Jesus gives of himself. He's told us he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the firstborn from the dead, the creator of all things. All these things in the book of Revelation, he describes himself. But in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, he says this, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. All right, there he is. He's saying, I'm the Son of Man. And I've never taught you on the Son of Man, but I really need to. Anytime that point's made, he's saying, I was flesh. But then he says, I am also the bright and morning star. I am the divine revelation of heaven to earth. I'm the Son of God. I am God in the flesh. I am the bright morning star. Now, who is the bright morning star? The bright morning star is the day star. The bright morning star is Venus. The bright morning star here is Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm drawing attention to myself. That's the method. But notice what he then says in verse 17. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the church, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So he says, here I am, the bright morning star. I invite you to come.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people out there that say, you know, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. I believe God created the earth. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but they've never come to him.
Amen.
And see, that's the light. That's Christmas. You know, I think one of the saddest things is for a non-Christian to go through Christmas. I just think that's sad. You know, because if I didn't have the supernatural, eternal aspect of Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and God wants us to stop. He wants us to come. I want you to come and see me. I want you to come and drink of the water of life freely. So he gets your attention, then he makes an invitation, and then you either receive him or reject him. You either come or you ignore him. A lost person either receives or rejects. A Christian either comes and follows his leadership, or we ignore him, or we go the other way, or we run from him because our deeds are evil.
Yeah.
But Christmas is all about the light of heaven shining down on earth.
Yeah.
In full revelation of God. It's an amazing thing. It's a miraculous thing. Isaiah talked to us about it. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. The day star of Christmas. Yeah, you know, almost titled it the Star of Christmas or the Christmas Star. And folks would have thought about the star that led the wise men. Certainly, that was an appropriate sign because the star was leading the wise men to the bright morning star. The angels were leading the shepherd to the shepherds to the Lamb of God and the Good Shepherd. I mean, all the symbolism, all the wonder. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Do you feel like the light has shined on you? I do. I can look back on myself when I was lost and I can sense darkness. And I can look at my life now and I can sense the light.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's the light of Jesus. There's a new light in my life.
Yeah.
When you get saved. There are folks that are living in darkness. There are folks that are deceived in darkness. There are people that go to church every day and they're in darkness, or every Sunday and they're in darkness. But notice what he says, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. And they've got to respond. Once that light shines on you, you've got to respond. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So it's speaking of Jesus.
Yeah.
This light is Jesus. Why do we hang lights on the tree, Mom? Why do we have a star on the tree, Mom? You know, we need to be able to answer these questions. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. We adopted the Druid principle of the live tree, the live evergreen, the pagan ritual, and we brought it to ourselves. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says this, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Who's going to arise? The Lord's going to arise. Look at what it says. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is upon thee. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall ride their dromedaries to the light, the multitude of the camels and the kings to the brightness of his rising. Verse 4, lift up your eyes round about and see. What's his part? Shining the light. What's your part? You got to lift up your eyes and see. You say, Brother Lil, I hadn't been seen. You hadn't been looking. You hadn't been lifting up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and see. You got a choice. Everybody's got a choice. Everybody's got a choice. Shepherds had a choice. Wise men had a choice. Herod had a choice. Everybody has a choice once the light shines. Lift up your eyes and see. I want to share with you another verse. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Another word I discovered when studying the day star and the bright morning star. You know, every day that sun comes up, you ought to worship Jesus. Every day when you see that sun rise up and dispel the darkness, that's your life. That's this world. I was excitedly telling Patty all this stuff, and I was telling her this thing that I'm about to tell you at the breakfast table the other morning. And she goes, you know, Leo, you have a passion for this stuff because you're outdoors. You love the outdoors. She goes, I don't know anybody else takes a sleeping bag outside, lays on the ground and looks at the stars on a clear winter's night. I love the winter because of the visibility of the stars. So he said, I don't know anybody else who doesn't have to, who gets up before dawn, gets a cup of coffee, bundles up, sits on those front steps to watch the sunrise and the doves fly. I have cracked corn and stuff out where I watch, and I hear them coming. Been hearing that sound since I was 6 or 7 years old and hunted doves all my life till 2011. I went through some changes there, but I support hunters, and I think it's a wonderful way to enjoy wildlife, and things need to be harvested for health reasons for the population. So I don't want anybody to think I'm against it, because my heart still beats when I see ducks or doves flying on the side of the interstate. And she said, but most people aren't like you anymore. They're not going to have the excitement you have about Venus. You know, tonight, the Christmas comet, do you know that it's going to be visible in the eastern sky? Won't be seen again for 20 years. Won't be this close. There's a conjunction coming in 2022 that's going to be an amazing thing that the Israeli prophets are talking about right now. But I said, you know, Patty, you're right. Most people and most kids today don't know how to climb trees and fall in mud and, you know, run the marsh or the woods and creeks. I said they hold things in their hands and have all this electronic stuff. But then I told her, I said, Patty, you got to understand. When this was written, everybody was an outside person.
Yeah.
I mean, when Paul's writing about the day star, when Jesus is saying, I'm the bright morning star, when Zechariah talks about the dawning of the day spring, everybody 2,000 years ago was an outdoor person. If you need to go to the bathroom, you went outdoors. If you had to go get milk, you went outdoors.
Yeah.
You know, if you needed to get meat, you went outdoors. You didn't go to the cabinet or the refrigerator or the bathroom. If you wanted to see the sunrise, or if you wanted to get in a fight with somebody down the road, you went outdoors. You didn't push A, Z, and D and act like you're beating somebody up. The whole world has convulsed in to where you can't relate to what I'm about to tell you, but it excites me. So let me read you this prophecy in Luke chapter 1. Zechariah says this about his baby, John the Baptist, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And then he says this, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high. I think day needs to be capitalized. The day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, here we go again, and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. The day spring from on high hath visited us. Now let me give you the Greek for day spring. It's ana, A-N-A-T-O-L-E, and it's a long E, ana-to-le. And it's very specific. It means the rising of light. So get that. Because I want you to understand something if you've been following me. We've been talking about light coming from another direction up to this point. We've been talking about light coming down from heaven. Okay, now we're talking about a word that means the rising of light. Now notice what he says. The day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to us, to them that sit in darkness and who fear the shadow of death, because we're going to die without eternal life. Now, Anatole means the rising of light, but the actual translation there, day spring, is an old English word. It is an archaic old English word. But it meant the same thing to the Europeans that it meant to the Chaldeans, that it meant to the Persians, that it meant to the Syrians, that it meant to the Israelites, that it meant to the Canaanites. And in pagan worship, there's a huge ritual. And it's also a huge ritual in rabbinic worship, Old Testament and New. And this is exactly what the day spring is. The day spring is the exact moment and point on the horizon where the sun crest breaks upward. Okay, it's a rising of light. I want to say it again. It's the exact moment and point on the horizon where the sun crest breaks upward. So you got a round sun, and if you're looking east out on the horizon, at some point, at some location, and at some moment, you're going to see the aura or the light of that crest come over the horizon. That's the day spring. It happens only once a day, and it is specific and it's exact. It is an exact time and an exact place. The pagans believe you needed to be in prayer to your gods at that moment. The Old Testament Jews wanted to be in prayer unto God before that moment, at that moment, and past that moment. And New Testament scholars believe when they said Jesus went out early to pray, that's part of the moment. Yeah. It's a spiritual moment. It's the dawn of a new day. But I want you to also know this. Every day has its own unique day spring. Today, the day spring was at a certain point at a certain time. Tomorrow, the day spring is going to be at another point in another time. It's going to shift one nanosecond, and it's going to shift a certain degree. Barely. Right now, it's moving northward. At mid-spring, the day spring will start moving back south. One exact moment, one exact time. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you, have you had your day spring? Have you experienced your day spring? See, it's all about light. It's all about the light of heaven coming to earth. But not only coming to earth, coming to us. So now, Lehman, the horizon is not the sky. The horizon's my heart.
Amen.
My heart's in darkness.
Yeah.
Now let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Yeah.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. What's that? That's the announcement. That's the star over Bethlehem. That's the angel singing to the shepherds. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's your neighbor telling you about Jesus. That's you watching David Jeremiah or Joyce on TV or on the radio. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I want you to understand, when you got saved, the light shined on you. You know how I tell you folks that when God's conviction came over me, I was fighting it. And I fought it for several weeks before I responded in my church. Well, you know what that was? That was the light of His truth and His love and His purity. And you know what was fighting it off? My darkness. Amen. My darkness and my pride. His light was trying to dispel my darkness. But notice what it says. Who is the image of God should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but we're lifting up Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Listen, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, when did He do that? He did that in Genesis chapter 1, the first day, let there be light. And guess what? He does it every day. Psalm chapter 50 says, Psalm 50 verse 1, He calls the rising of the sun every day, from the rising thereof to the going down thereof. Yeah. Colossians 1 says, He not only created the earth, He sustains it and keeps it going.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's one of my prayers. When I'm sitting there and I see that sun crest, I say, Lord, thank you for calling the sun up today.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the day, Lord? You coming back today? Jesus, come quickly. But notice what He says. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? Has shined in our hearts. Has shined in our hearts. Your heart is the horizon.
Yes.
Isn't that salvation?
Yes.
And so Jesus is the day star of Christmas. He's my day star. He's the light of my life. He is the light of the world. John chapter 1, that lights every man that comes into the world. He's the divine revelation of God. But I want you to understand this word one more time. To shine forth, to make known, to draw attention to cause to be seen. I want you to understand the Lord's trying to get your attention this Christmas. Man, I can't sit here and go over these prayer requests and my heart breaks for folks that aren't, you know, they're not worried about burning the turkey. They're not worried about the strand of lights that didn't go on the tree. They're not worried about, you know, this is hectic and that's hectic. I mean, we've got folks that need a liver and folks that are undergoing surgery and folks that are facing all these things. And you know, here we are in America and we want this perfect Christmas. And as I shared in a devotional a few Wednesday nights ago, there is only one perfect in Christmas and His name is Jesus.
Amen.
So if you want to get to as close to a perfect Christmas as you can, focus on Jesus.
Yeah.
I asked Patty, you know, she's the one that has to go through all this stuff. I said, Patty, give me a fair percentage. She goes, on what? I said, on Christmas in the life of a Christian, these next 2 weeks, should it be 30% focused on Jesus and 70% focused on all the other stuff? Should it be 50-50? Should it be 90-10? Should it be 80-20? I said, what should it be, Patty? And then she's, before she can answer, I'm saying, what do you think it is? I've been in ministry 35 years. I've never had one Christian come up to me and say, you know, Brother Leo, I've spent so much time focusing on Jesus this Christmas season, I hadn't had time to shop. But you know, I have had folks say, you know, so much has been going on, I hadn't sat down yet. Well, if you hadn't sat down yet, you hadn't met with God. Because you got to sit down to meet with my God. You know, I've also heard folks say that are Christians, I'm just so glad it's over.
Yeah.
I don't want it ever to end. I've heard folks say, I get tired of that Christmas music. I'll be so glad when they quit playing Christmas. You're going to get so tired when they quit playing Heart. When they quit playing Sign. When they quit playing Glory. I love all those words. Go Tell It on the Mountain. I had several jobs in my home at Christmas, but the two that stand out to me. My daddy had a huge Masonic Bible that sat on an antique table, a good bit larger than that one. He'd go out and cut pine straw. And he'd have the pine straw set up on candles, and I was to go in there and open it up to Luke chapter 2. That's how I memorized Luke chapter 2. I knew Luke chapter 2 by the time I was 8, 9 years old, the whole chapter. I could say Quirinius. The other job was I was to put the nativity under the tree. And I'd put that nativity up and put Jesus in there. And there are times I'd lay under that tree and just look at it. Now, I got a horse 1 year for Christmas. I opened all my presents and my daddy said, Leo, go look in the backyard. Your friend Neil's back there playing. He got a jump rope or a bicycle. He's trying to show you his bicycle. And I went out there and I looked in the backyard. There was a pinto horse. But that's not what I remember. There ain't no pinto horse as valuable as my Jesus. There's no gift a child can get as valuable as the gift of the true meaning. You know, children love to be hands-on. I thought that was a big deal. He had a big old red ribbon that marked Luke chapter 2. And then I knew already to turn to Matthew 1 because I loved reading about the wise men. Christ came into the world to shine forth in divine revelation of Himself, to be seen, to draw attention to Himself. We have seen His star in these and are come to worship Him. Or not. You got a choice. You got a choice. My friend, I hope this time of the year you feel like you can draw so close to Jesus. Because this is the time of year we recognize that He drew so close to us. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly. And we're not going to leave here without focusing on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Emmanuel. God is with us. And take a few moments, and I'm going to ask you to talk to Jesus. Share with Him what's on your heart. Listen to Him. Commune with Him. Thank Him for leaving heaven's glory, for earth's manger and earth's cross. Thank Him that He loves you, for God so loved the world, He came. If you want to come up here and pray with me, you can, but with heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you're in here and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've never made that decision, I'm going to ask you to come up and pray with me and say, Brother Leo, we need to talk this week. We need to lay this thing out. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's spend a few moments with the Christ of Christmas, the reason we're here today and every day.